morning and welcome to First Congregational Church here in Westfield. Whoever you are and wherever you are in life's journey, you are welcome here. We have just a couple of announcements this morning. First of all, I would like to offer my thanks for your generous gift that I received last week. So thank you so much. And I'd like to also express thanks to Janet St. Jean for her wonderful words, and our choir came back, and it was a wonderful celebration. I know you think, why is he still here? Look, we're still looking at him, for crying out loud. You have to look at me for a few more weeks. Okay, me too. Our fellowship hall, also known as, I call it the dining room all the time, is being painted. We will have coffee hour in there, but just know it's going to look a little different. And you're going to see a huge, vast improvement already in that room. So it looks wonderful. It's going to be beautiful when it's finished. So someone take a picture and send it to me so that I can see the finished product. Throughout the next 2 weeks, the best way to find me is to email me. I'm in and out between the two churches. In Southwick, our admin has relocated himself to Rhode Island and is working remotely, which means I have to stand next to the printer and grab things and fold things and do other things for now until they work that out. So I'm spending a little bit of time in Southwick. And also, Teddy Kowal's funeral is Tuesday at 11 o'clock. So Roberta is the music director. She has played at Southwick Congregational since 1962. So for 64 years, she has been at Southwick Congregational. And Teddy's been with her that whole time. So it'll be a true celebration of life, and it'll be hard not to look out. I could tell that my sermon was going long because Teddy Kowal would rustle papers. That he was my age. So we'll miss him. Are there any other announcements this morning? Hearing none, let us worship God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in the call to worship found printed in your worship guide. Come, all who are hungry and thirsty.
The Lord will provide for our needs.
Come this day to the table of the Lord.
Here you will find welcome and sustenance.
Come to this time of gathering and praise.
Lord, we come with open hearts and spirits to receive your gracious gift of love.
Please join me in our opening hymn, Spirit of the Living God, found in the blue hymnal number 276.
Thank you.
seated. At this time, I ask you to join with me in our prayer of confession, as found in the worship guide. Gracious Lord, we are filled with a mixture of feelings today. Some of us are rejoicing in the wonderful time of rest and relaxation, while others continue to seek relief from the burdens and worries that they bear. All of us stand in need of your refreshing and nourishing love and forgiveness. Cause us to turn around and see instances in which we can be of help and comfort to someone else. Give us strength and courage to truly be your loving disciples in the ways in which we care for others. Forgive us when we stray from the paths of righteousness and peace. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, rejoice! God's love is poured over us this day for healing, restoration, and hope. Feel the power of God's mercy in our lives, and let us go into God's world knowing that we are forgiven and blessed, and be a blessing to others. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis, where I shall begin with the 22nd verse. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Our God is still speaking. Thanks be to God. Please join me in a responsive reading taken from Psalm 17. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit.
From you let my vindication come. Let your eyes be bright.
If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress.
As for what others do, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of violence.
My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped.
I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words.
Wondrously slow your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand.
As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied. Behold your likeness.
Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, where I shall begin with the 13th verse. Now, when Jesus heard the news of the execution of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. He went ashore. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over from the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of God for the people. So here we are in the midst of another summer, and our thought question this morning, as almost always is with me, about our favorite summer foods. Now, we asked this question before, and people had a bunch of different answers. I know that my answer has since changed, because I said I liked potato salad. That was my favorite, and it was my potato salad. Well, Mark kind of got better than mine, and he also has recreated, I guess, my mother's recipe. In fact, the only good thing I remember about my mother's cooking, sorry, Ma, but it was a macaroni salad, but she put tuna in it. I added peas to the whole process, but anyhow, so Mark does that. But we all have our favorite summer foods that we enjoy. Many of us enjoy watermelon. Many of us enjoy zucchini. Hot dogs, hamburgers, bratwurst, things that come off the grill. So these things all remind us of summer, besides the heat. But we also know that some people struggle with having enough to eat. We do our part to help keep the food pantries, both here in Westfield and in Southwick, stocked with enough food to give those in need. And we give without qualification. We know that others struggle with food addiction and seek help for that as well. And we have people with gluten allergies, peanut allergies, lactose intolerance, and a host of other issues. But one fact remains true. Eating and drinking are crucial to surviving. Now, based on the amount of food I consume, I should be around for a while. I wish it worked like that, but it doesn't. But food and drink are part of what we do on many different occasions. Oftentimes, after a wedding, we eat. Certainly, the holidays in many ways have become centered around food. Even after a funeral, the families and friends of the deceased gather around a meal, right? They have lunch or something else. And without skipping a beat, someone will ask, "Do this is not unlike what happened in our gospel story today. Here are some things that we might need to bring to the forefront as we look at the story of this miracle. And the reading starts off, when Jesus heard this. What we aren't told is that Jesus had just learned of the execution of John the Baptist. He was off. He was trying to be on his own, to mourn, to grieve, perhaps with some foreshadowing of what his own execution may look like, or perhaps to keep things quiet because his work on earth was not yet finished. Nonetheless, Jesus decided to seek refuge by a lake. People found out where he was, and not unlike the paparazzi of today, they flocked to him for his reaction. So much for his time to grieve or hide out for a bit. But it's almost as if you receive sad news of the death of a relative or a parent, but you still have little kids who need you to feed them and bathe them and clothe them. Or when your friends and family come by, so you won't have to grieve alone. What do we sometimes find ourselves doing? Well, we take the time to find out, to make sure that they have something to drink or to eat, or a place to sit, or listen to a story that they want to share. Now, Jesus, in turn, realized the crowds were so large that he set out on a water vessel, a boat, or some sort of raft, if you will, so that he could address the crowds. And he also realized that the people who had gathered needed to eat. That's how the loaves and fish were gathered, and the subsequent miracle of the loaves and fishes took place. Everyone had his or her fill. All 5,000, not counting women and children. That line's always cracked me up. You mean not counting women and children? So it was probably more like 15,000, 20,000. How many of us have uttered the question, will we have enough when we've gathered? We're often told that there's enough. We're often told that there's enough. The Reverend Carla Miller, who's right, she's right in your worship guide. It's the quote that I used today. And she wrote, 5 loaves and 2 fish are never enough until we start to give them away. 5 loaves and 2 fish are never enough until we start to give them away. Well, it seems that every time we go to provide a meal at the community table, we are concerned until we start giving it away. And then we realize we have more than enough. Our thrift shop team committed to give away clothes and items to those in need, as well as 20% of the profit from the sales. We have more than enough. Could it be because we started to give it away? This may appear a radical thought, but I want us to think about this. And I ask myself this all the time. I really do. How much do we really need? How much do we need? Do we have enough? I know when I look at my own possession, it dawns on me that I do have too much. I have too many things. I've accumulated them. But on the other hand, we praise God. We because God has blessed our house with abundance. We never think we have enough until we start to give it away. At our communion table, will we have enough? Probably, because the deacons make sure of it. We don't have to worry about that. But what I'd like us all to think about as a church is, do we have enough? We're starting the second quarter of the 21st century. Can you stand it? We're in the second quarter. The first 25 years have almost gone by. We're getting ready to start the second quarter. We must be responsible to ensure that what we have is cared for, absolutely, and maintained. And we've been doing that. We've been doing that. But we're also called to make sure that, much like the early Christians, all in need are cared for as well. Today, let us thank God for our blessings. For sure, we have what we need. Surely we do. What we need to give away in order to have enough? Or do we need to give something away in order to have enough? I don't have the answer to that. I can't decide that for you. We all have to decide that together, for ourselves, for whatever group we belong, our church. But let us ask God to guide us as we plan, as we hope, as we dream, and most importantly, as we spread the gospel message, as we move forward in the 21st century. Do we have enough? Amen. It was almost like simply scratched. Let's take just a moment of quiet reflection. As we come to prayer this morning, we're mindful of our joys and concerns that are listed in our worship guide. We pray for those who have asked for our prayers. We remember in a special way today Bill and Judy as they make some life-altering changes, I would say. We pray for the needs of our world, for justice and peace throughout. We pray for our country as we continue to celebrate the 250th anniversary. We pray for our nation's leaders that they govern in ways of justice and peace. We pray for our churches, both here at First Congregational Church and Southward Congregational Church, as we gather, discern, and figure out where do we go from here. And as we do each week, we remember those prayers that remain in the silence of our hearts, known only to us and to God. And may God be with you. Please pray with me. Loving God, you are our creator and sustainer. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. And so we look to you whenever we are in need, trusting in your love and your abundant goodness. As you once fed the hungry crowds with 5 loaves and 2 small fish, we ask that you would again fill those who are empty this day. Pour out your spirit on all who hunger and thirst. We pray for those who are physically hungry, whose stomachs are empty. We pray for all those nations who are facing critical food shortages, and for those who are suffering from the effects of malnutrition and starvation, and watching helplessly as loved ones die. We pray for those who are empty emotionally, who are lonely and long for companionship and love, who are caught in the grip of depression or overwhelmed with grief. We pray for those who are spiritually empty, who are troubled and don't know where to turn, who long for purpose and meaning but don't know where to look, for those who need you but do not yet know you. God, we praise you for your abundant gifts in our lives. Pour out your spirit on us as well. Fill us with your compassion and love so that we would willingly share some of our abundance with those who have need. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who came so that all of humanity might come to know the abundant life from you. May it be so. Amen. My friends, God created a world of abundance for everyone, yet many do not share in the bounty. Christ calls us to find sufficiency among us and to make sure that we are all fed. We give as we have been blessed, as our offering is now received.
quench our thirst and alleviate our hunger
when we turn to you.
May your offerings proclaim your goodness and mercy. May they be devoted to extending the beloved community of your people. And may our words and actions attune to your will, that we may offer to all what they need from your hand. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. As grain that was scattered on the hillside, we gathered together and made into one loaf. And so we are bound together around Christ's table and become one. As grapes grown in the field, we are gathered together and pressed into wine. So are we transformed into Christ's self-giving love for all. For all are welcome at this table. And may God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God Most High. All-powerful and ever-living God, we do well always and everywhere to give you thanks. All things are of your making. All times and seasons obey your law. But you chose us. You chose to make us in your image, setting us over the world in all its wonder. You made us the stewards of creation to praise you day by day for the marvels, wisdom, power, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, together, we lift our voice to praise you.
Thank you.
Indeed, O God, you are holy, and all creation rightly gives you praise. All life, all holiness comes from you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the working of the Holy Spirit. From age to age, you gather people to yourself, so that from east to west and north to south, a perfect offering may be made to the glory of your name. So, God, we bring you these gifts. We ask you to make them holy by the power of your Spirit, that they may nourish and strengthen us to spread your gospel message. In the midst of the meal, Jesus took bread, but dispensed with the regular blessing. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which is given up for you. Whenever you do this, do it in memory of me." When it came time to share the cup, Jesus again dispensed with the regular blessing. He gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Whenever you do this, do it in memory of me." Through the broken bread, we participate in the body of Christ. Through the cup of salvation, we participate in the blood of Christ. So come, for all things are ready. Ministering to you in his name, I give you the bread. Thank you. ministering to you in his name, I give you the cup. Please join with me in the prayer of thanksgiving is found in your worship guide. O Lord, may we who eat this bread become a people of living stones.
May we
who drink this cup become a people of salvation. Enrich our faith and trust as we gather together again at your table for this sacred remembrance. In these moments of communion together, may we experience the confidence of those who are loved and accepted. Amen.